The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello, welcome in to our sunny Monday edition of the Leach Report. Where was the sunshine on Saturday? It was not anywhere to be found in Kentucky. There was no sun shining bright on our old Kentucky home on Saturday. But we do have a new Kentucky Derby winner, and he is Justify. Congratulations to all the connections, but in particular, the local connections to this horse. That would be the folks at Windstar Farm. And also Starlight Racing, a Louisville-based operation, and a lot of Kentuckians between those two entities that were part of the team Justify that won the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. We'll talk about that. Our annual Monday After the Derby show features Kenny Rice from NBC, who is traveling for his MMA duties, but will join us here on the line in just a bit, and we'll get Kenny's take on the Derby and the next two legs. And we'll talk with Ben Roberts from the Herald Leader. Ben not only covers the Derby, but a lot of basketball recruiting and football recruiting. And so we'll talk about those topics in detail, but a little bit of Derby with Ben as well. That's our guest lineup today, presented, as always, by Sleep Outfitters here on the show. You can interact with us via Twitter at Leach Report, email leachreport@gmail.com, or you can call 877-904-1080, toll-free anywhere in Kentucky. Wildcat News of the Day is a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group. That's a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. We'll start with the Derby, and since we always lead off talking about the Wildcat news, there are some Wildcat connections here. The guy who heads up the racing operation for Windstar is Elliot Walden, and there is no bigger Big Blue fan than Elliot. And then on Friday, the Kentucky Oaks won by Monomoy Girl, and that was trained by Brad Cox, who's a big Cat fan, and it was his first or second Grade One win. His first came in the Ashland Stakes at Keeneland. So Ashland's done great in producing Oaks winners in recent years, and the Bluegrass winner was a strong second, Good Magic. So if he finishes the year strong, maybe the Bluegrass will get back what it deserves, which is that Grade One status. But Good Magic made a good run at Justifies. Bob Baffert gets a horse like this, and he puts a rider like Mike Smith on him, they take the fight to the opposition, and that's what Justify did. And so he ran very fast early, but the thing is, he took the starch out of the horses that were anywhere close to him. And so Good Magic ran a heck of a race to go through those fast fractions, not be too far out of it, and still finish strong through the stretch. Audible was the one running late up the inside and just missed second, but they took the starch out of a lot of the closers. And that's what you need to do when you have a horse like this. So congrats to all of members of Team Justify. The Apollo curse bites the dust. Kind of figured it would happen at some point. We talked about this last week with horses having lighter and lighter preparation schedules. And this was, if you're one of those who thinks you can win championships with young but very talented players. Kentucky did it in 2012. Others have done it. It's hard, but there's any way to do it is hard. And Justify did it the hard way, so to speak, by breaking the Apollo curse and winning the Derby. All of our Triple Crown coverage, once again, presented by Claiborne Farm, doing the usual unusually well for more than 100 years. Baseball. Tennessee beats Kentucky yesterday 5-3. Seventh inning was when the Vols rallied to break a 3-3 tie. Justin Lewis hit a batter, and then the number nine hitter hit a home run, and that was it. An earlier three-run Tennessee rally was aided by an error, so only one of the three runs was earned. And so, bad loss, really, for Kentucky. They lose the series, and they go to Indiana on Tuesday. Big game against a good team. Indiana's one of those teams that Kentucky will be fighting for in the seed lines come the NCAA tournament time. The big highlight for the weekend for Kentucky baseball was the strong outing by Zach Thompson on Saturday. That was great to see, and that bodes well for Kentucky moving forward. Softball, Kentucky took 2 of 3 from number 12, South Carolina. So Kentucky goes into SEC tournament play this week as the 10 seed against number 7 seed Arkansas. But don't worry about that 10 seed. Kentucky should be safely in the NCAA field as strong as the SEC is. 2:30 Wednesday is when that first game will take place. Zan Payne, Kenny Payne's son, is going to walk on at UK. 6'4", 200-pounder. Averaged 19-9 for Lexington Catholic last season. Broke his leg late in the year, so he's going to have to rehab that. So is not expected to play this coming season, but would be a player for the Wildcats moving forward. And a couple more Kentucky football players have signed free agent deals to get into NFL camps and try to make a spot. Matt Elam with the Ravens, Kendall Randolph with the Philadelphia Eagles. So as with all of their teammates who have recently signed after not hearing their name called on draft nights, good luck to all of those guys. Links to the stories that we talk about each day can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. We're heading to a break. Kenny Rice from NBC Sports on deck when we return. It's the Leach Report Radio Network.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at TalkRadio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
Derby edition report, and we always get our buddy Kenny Rice to join us on the Monday after Derby to recap the run for the Roses. And saw Kenny right after the race, as I usually do. We were both drenched, and we're having a little trouble reaching Kenny at the moment, apparently. So we will we'll keep efforting. This was a Derby that was one that Justify was a consensus, if not, you know, favorite, you know, a strong contender. I think he was ended up being going off at like 5-2. It was talked about that this was one of the deepest derbies ever in terms of talent, and that speaks to Justify's talent, that he was able to prevail by 2+ lengths. Good Magic, as we said, ran a strong second, and he's probably going to skip the Preakness, it looks like. And if he shows back up in the Belmont, if he takes a step forward, could be a big challenge. There were horses that were further back that, you know, on such a day where it was so sloppy and muddy. I saw a quote from Todd Pletcher about Vino Rosso, a horse that I thought was had a shot. He finished 8th, 9th, somewhere in there. Ended up with just eyes covered with all that mud and slop. So horses that had trips that compromised them. There was a really roughly run first few strides out of the gate for horses in the middle of the field. I think it was Magnum Moon came over and bumped into Instilled Regard and Mendelssohn, and Mendelssohn backed out of it. Instilled Regard fought through some of that and came on and got fourth. But this was, you know, it's such a deep field that it's going to be interesting. I think Justifies a virtual cinch to win the Preakness, but coming back to the Belmont Stakes, it's it'll be interesting when we get to that time, because you're going to have some horses that were very well thought of in this race that may show back up, like a Good Magic, like a Vino Rosso, and may get a little better trip in Vino Rosso's case, or maybe you know, Good Magic Chase may find Justify softened up possibly a little bit by what happened in the preparation for the Derby. This is a lot in a short period of time. Justify didn't win his first race until the 11th of February. So this is his fourth race now in about 2 month, or 3 month period. And then he'll have a quick turnaround for the Preakness. And then 3 weeks after that, obviously, is the Belmont Stakes. So that's what's the challenge of this, what makes it so difficult, and now Justify's adding to it because of the light schedule that he had coming into the rate, well, not the light schedule, but the late preparation start, the late start he came into the Derby with. Now he's got to catch up, and at some point that could catch up to you by the mile and a half of the Belmont with a bunch of talented competitors. Fletcher's been very strong in that, so Audible, third in the Derby, might come back in the Belmont. Vino Rosso, I mentioned, Good Magic, those kind of horses. Hofburg for Belmont, apparently pointing to the Belmont. So I kind of think It might be tougher for Justify when he gets to the Belmont if he's won the first two than it was for Farrow, that the field might be a little stronger than Farrow faced. We'll talk about some of those things hopefully here in a second with Kenny Rice. When we join back with him, let's take a quick break, try to reconnect. It's 19 after the top of the hour. It's the Leach Report Radio Network.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
You know, you get so much stuff whirling around during Derby Week, and you don't hit all the marks. I must have copied and pasted the wrong number. So I don't know who he called, but Shannon has been able to track down Kenny Rice now that I gave him the right number. Hello, Kenny Rice.
I heard the other guy was a really good guest, Tom. Good to be with you.
Yeah, we started to go with him. I'm not sure who it was, but... let's jump into the Derby and the performance of Justify. It certainly wasn't a surprise to anybody, but I was saying earlier that Baffert and Mike Smith are the perfect team to win the Derby with a horse like this in the way the race played out, because... you had a very talented horse, and they just took the fight to the opponent. And Mike Smith's as good as that at that as anybody of, you know, kind of breaking the spirit of anybody wants to run with you if you've got a fast horse, and then trust that the horse is fit enough to get home to the wire, and that's what Justify did.
Yeah, Bob Baffert was telling me before the race that, you know, he was hoping that the cleaner the silks, he thought the better the horse would run. And it was interesting to see on that really muddy track, Mike looked fairly untouched, and so they got him out quickly, got him in a good place. They were moving along, though, those opening fractions.
Yeah.
But Mike kind of, he touched the brakes just enough so he'd have, and that's what the Hall of Famer does. You know, from about 3/8 on, because Good Magic was making a great run at him, and that performance of Justified on the track is a pretty good time for the conditions. He really did look like, you know, possibly a super horse.
There are some races where think it's, you know, it's just the horse. Secretariat and the Belmont, Ronnie Turcotte was a tremendous rider, but that day it just needed to be somebody that could hang on. I mean, sometimes it's all the horse, but this was a particularly well-ridden race, I thought, by Mike Smith to help this horse win the race in the way that he did.
Yeah, you know, he avoided any traffic coming out of 7. He got out there quickly. He knew that, you know, that the Promises were going to be out there early, setting some pace. He was right behind him enough. That was, again, like a quick pace. But I agree with you. I mean, it's a combination. And, you know, so much credit to Baffert for having this horse ready and only his 4th race. And, you know, here he is going for another Preakness. And, you know, every horse that Baffert's won a Derby with, the other 4, they've all gone on for a Triple Crown. I think he's going to be doing it, at least getting another shot at it this time.
I was just saying a moment ago before we got you on that I think he's a virtual cinch in the Preakness, but that the Belmont might be tougher for him than it was for Farrow because he might face a tougher field than Farrow faced in the Belmont.
You mean they'll bring in fresh horses, those cheaters?
Well, actually, I wasn't talking about, you know, that's the great Steve Coburn story. I was just thinking about the ones from the Derby that'll skip it, like Good Magic, couple of Fletcher's horses, maybe Hofburg, that are, this is a really good, you know, we talked about how deep the Derby field was, and this is a, you know, it's a strong group that Justify beat.
Oh, yeah, and of course, I hope people remember the Steve Coburn interview and the reference there.
He was upset they actually allowed fresh horses to come in and run against his horse in the Belmont.
I remember, bless his heart, you remember he said he'd never see a Derby winner in a Triple Crown winner in his lifetime, and of course it happened the next year.
Yeah, but, and we got a shot, maybe a good shot, it looks like, maybe at a second one here in 4 years, so maybe we've gone from the Steve from the Apollo curse to the, in a positive way, the Steve Coburn jinx.
Exactly. But no, I agree. I think there'll be some good horses that'll be coming at him in the Belmont, probably more than they'll be trying it in the Preakness. You know, I'm not sure who all's going to go in there. Good Magic, possibly. Lucas has a couple that he's going to try to run. And, you know, you start looking down and you go, well, okay, there might be people coming at him, you know, bringing their horses at him. But given that dominant, I thought it was a pretty dominant performance, you know, except for Good Magic, there was no one else that had a shot at that horse. And that kind of performance usually tends people to start thinking, well, let's give him a few weeks off and give it a shot at Belmont.
Talk with Kenny Rice from NBC Sports. He was part of the team that was covering Derby last weekend and will be at the Preakness in Baltimore in just under a couple of weeks. I was saying after the race, this horse justified maybe a little like Muhammad Ali, a heavyweight, but very light on his feet, athletic, and with a really sharp mind to do what he's done in a short amount of time.
Yeah, it's a great comparison. I mean, because one, as you know, the big concern with trainers, how do the horse keep their weight on going through all the prep races going into the Derby? This horse actually gained weight. He was well over 1,200 pounds. I mean, he looked like the linebacker out there against running backs. And that kind of big, strong horse. You know, the one thing that might help him, there was so much made about him not having much experience coming into the Derby, being so lightly raced with only three races all this year. You know, that, again, might work in his favor looking ahead going on if he wins, as we think he will, going on to the Belmont, because, you know, that'll be going into a race where he'll still probably be one of the lightest races, maybe the lightest race horse in the field.
You know, I saw a quote from Elliot Walden talking about the size of Justify. He brought back a Super Saver, and he talked about the weight that horse lost after the Derby, and it was maybe a more lightly made horse, and it just took a lot out of him. You know, Justify is built kind of like a linebacker or a big defensive end that maybe that helps him be able to take a lot of training.
Yeah, I think he can, and I know Bob at one time was going to send him from Southern California. He thought about maybe trying like an Arkansas Derby or somewhere else, or you know, running into some preps in, say, Arkansas. And he just kept training so well, and you know, being probably the greatest trainer of all time, really, Baffert. I think he is the best. I won't even qualify. He saw what was going on. He thought I could keep training this horse. Because he's eating up this training, and he's eating well, and he's still big and strong, and I'll keep him at Santa Anita, and that's what he did. He put him in Pharaoh's old stall out there, and I don't know if that's an omen or whatever, but I believe that he felt that this is a horse that is so big and strong and so light on his feet, like you mentioned, Tom, that I can do a lot of different things with him here rather than try to put him through so many Derby preps, and it's obviously paying off.
A crazy weather day. This was kind of like for the weather forecasters that year when they said we were going to get a light dusting and we got 24 inches of snow.
Yeah.
They kept saying this front was going to stay south of Louisville, and we end up with the wettest Derby ever. Did it go smoothly for the NBC crew?
You know, overall it did. I've never been more soaked than I have been in any race we've covered. You know, I think of the downpour of the Smarty Jones year in 04, you remember, but it was that huge downpour, and then it was over. And even last year, you know, some intermittent rain. But I don't know, and you're right out there with NBC Radio. I see you out there. I don't know, was there ever a moment where it didn't at least have some mist? There was some precipitation in the air. It seemed like all day long there was never a place where you could say, well, we're going to get a 30-minute break. And I think all of us that were out in the field were wringing out our clothes afterwards, even though we did have some cover on.
It's so true. We're going to get to a quick break. One more segment with Kenny Rice when we come right back. It's the Leach Report Radio Network.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach, KY.
Kenny Rice with us from NBC Sports. And talk a little bit about the Derby 144 on Saturday. You were saying, Kenny, you think Baffert's the greatest of all time. And we talk of trainers are kind of like the coaches for the horses. So what is it that makes him such a great coach/trainer?
Well, you know, look at the way he can judge the talent. And I'm even going back to 30 Sloughs when he won. Nobody knew much about him. He was still the quarter horse trainer in the eyes of many when he won the Breeders' Cup Sprint. Then he comes in with Cavaneer, and that's when he got a little notice in 96. You know, he almost won that one. He was close to having six Derby wins. He just got beat out by Grindstone. And a lot of people thought, well, okay, he's here, and he's fun, he's energetic, he's got a great quote about everything. And then bang, bang, back-to-back with Silver Charm and Real Quiet. And look how close, Tom, he came within a second total of having already two more Triple Crown wins. And just looking at the way he manages and brings along the talent, and the record speaks for it, I would put Wayne Lucas, if you're starting to put, you know, everybody wants to know who the greatest of all time. They like polls and things. you know, Baffert and Lucas, we've seen two in this in our time. I wasn't around to meet Mr. Ben Jones. I would certainly put him as one of the great trainers. But you start looking back on all these trainers, it's a lot like coaches. And I think in this era, especially with the way that the travel is and horses get around, you know, it's a lot like, you know, you can debate Krzyzewski and Wooden. I don't think, with all due respect, that John Wooden would have won the number of championships that he's won in the way the game is today. I'm not sure the way the game is today with all these different syndicates, and you got a lot of people that invest money and come in and bring different horses in, and they all don't grow up on the farm, and you don't have that feeder system to certain trainers. You got to go in and bring your own talent in each year. And then Baffert has positioned himself in a place where, yeah, people do bring the talent to him, because I got to be honest, if I had the money and had a good three-year-old, I'd call up Bob Baffert, and, you know, probably the second call would be Todd Fletcher and say, hey, one of you guys want to take this horse, but I think Baffert's the go-to guy.
With Baffert, you covered him for a long time. I mean, you go all the way back talking about the 30 sloughs, and there was a 92 down at Gulfstream. So he had a serious heart attack along the way. Very, you know, kind of a brash guy. Always kind of fun loving, but it seems like after the heart attack, maybe he changed a little bit in terms of a little mellower. I don't know. What are your thoughts on how you've seen him evolve as a person?
Well, I think, like with a lot of us, you know, you get a little more age on you, and it's a matter of getting more perspective on things. Yes, he did have that heart attack. You know, he has three sons and a daughter, he has four sons and a daughter. And I think, you know, family, if you notice, his sons are around more. Bodie's been around, his youngest, but his other sons are coming more to the track. I think he wants them more involved in just being around him. They're not in the business. And then, too, he went through, and we discussed this before American Pharoah's campaign. You know, Bob, he's lost both his parents in recent years, and he was talking, as I'm close, as you know, to my parents, and I lost my mom over a year ago now. And, you know, we were just talking about, you know, we talked to our parents after big events, after big races in his case or whatever, and just, you know, those memories, and it does kind of put perspective in how it goes by quickly and all the things you enjoy. They don't last forever, and so you just appreciate the moments more, and especially being around people you like and you know, people you enjoy, and then, you know, that's true. And I mean, that's pretty much more. I used to live to work. I mean, I used to live to work. Now I work to live. I mean, that's kind of my philosophy too, and I believe that that's probably what's changed Bob more than anything else. Is just like all of us, you go through losses in life, you go through maybe serious conditions with your health, as he did, and come through it, and it does give you a different perspective.
One of my favorite pictures I look forward to seeing every year is the annual Kenny Rice and your dad at the Sweet 16.
I'm so thankful to God that we can still do it. He's 89. He's doing well. He's probably listening right now. Hello,
good.
Reginald. He always listens. But, but you know, it's a tradition. It's like people, and I'm not just saying this, but like being on this show with you after every Derby and seeing you up there with NBC Radio. I'm proud of your success. And, you know, the people we've met and worked with over the years are good friends. You know, that's really, in the big picture, you know, eventually we're all going to end. We're not going to cover every Derby the rest of our life. And so you just enjoy the moments you have and the people you're around. And, you know, it's, for me, the state tournament is one of my favorite things just because of that. I don't have to worry about doing an interview or what storylines we're covering. I just go and watch the games
and
enjoy
with
my dad and some of our friends.
Good for you. Well, tell him hi, and we appreciate you jumping on. And I know you got MMA tasks you're heading to this week, right?
Yeah, I'm actually down in Dallas right now. I was actually going to try to find that lady that won. Did you see where she won, like 1.2 at Rotama on
she
that
hit the pick five, culminating with the Derby for 1.2 million or something?
1.2. She picked five. You know what I would like to ask her is, you know, I got Limousine Liberal that she picked, and Marad that she picked. You know, I could kind of see that.
Even Yoshida.
Obviously. But Yoshida, how'd she pick Funny Duck? You know, at 40-1. She picked that. That was amazing. And good for her. You know, that's why people go to the track, isn't it? Maybe they'll be the
Absolutely.
Next.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kenny. Travel safe.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Tom.
20 away from the top of the hour. Quick break. Ben Roberts from the Herald Leader will be coming right back. It's the Leach Report Radio Network.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
Ben Roberts. Roberts joins the program from the Lexington Herald Leader and KentuckySports.com. And we'll perhaps get to a little derby if time permits with Ben, because I saw you traipsing through the slop down there on Saturday. But we'll start with a little bit of the basketball recruiting side. Tyrese Maxey is set to make an announcement middle of this week. What, Wednesday afternoon, right?
Yes, yeah, Wednesday afternoon about 5 o'clock Eastern time, I think.
So is he a bigger favorite than Justify was to win the Derby to reclassify and commit to Kentucky?
Well, he's a bigger favorite to commit to Kentucky, and this time last week I would have said the same thing about reclassification, but the last few days there's been some conflicting info on that, and some people who were pretty close to it seem to think that he's actually going to end up now staying in the class of 2019. When I talked to him a little over a week ago, a lot of people around the situation thought that he would reclassify, and he came off as a kid who was pretty much just ready to announce it right there on the spot, going over classes he had left and the timetables for him. And usually when kids get that specific, or really always when I've talked to kids when they get that specific, they go ahead and reclassify. But some people now think that he's going to stay in 2019. He told me then that there was a good chance he would announce both of those things at the same time, and actually said he would announce reclassification before a school if he did one before the other. So I assume we'll get the answer on both of those Wednesday. I would be shocked at this point if the school is not Kentucky, but yeah, a little uncertainty now about what class he ends up in.
Any guess as to what might have changed his thinking?
Well, I do know that they had talked about, the importance to him of not only going through that senior year of high school, but everything that goes along with it from a basketball standpoint, which would be stuff like the McDonald's game, the Jordan Classic, and, you know, just getting to spend another year with your teammates on the court. And the other thing with him is 2018 never made a whole lot of sense to me because, one, he's not – it would start his clock faster for the NBA. I mean, he's ranked, 15-ish in the country. He could be a one-and-done, but he's certainly no sure thing. And the other thing is he's in his right class. You know, a lot of these guys that we see reclassify, like a Marvin Bagley, if Ashton Hagens does it, Carl Towns, these guys were reclassifying back to their original class, the class that they were supposed to be in due to their age. And Tyrese is still 17 years old, so he's in his right class age-wise, so he would actually be moving up a class truly, which we really don't see very often. So staying in 2019 always made more sense to me, but it did look for a while there like 2018 was nearly a sure thing, and it still might be.
What about Hagens and his situation? Is that just kind of on hold until we see if he gets the academic work taken care of?
Yeah, he's got some classes, too, that he needs to he's doing the proper coursework to reclassify right now, and I think 3.5 student, too, in the classroom, so I don't think that should be a problem. I think they're just kind of holding off on that until they know for sure on the coursework, and he's playing with his team on the Adidas circuit this spring and summer while he goes through that. So he actually turns 19 in July. So if he stayed in this class, he would be 20 by the time he got to UK as a freshman. So I think everybody still expects him to end up in 2018 eventually. It just might take a little bit.
Yeah, that's one of the ones kind of opposite of the Maxey situation in terms of, being a little older.
Yeah. And that's what we've seen with guys like Bagley and Towns and pretty much everybody else. I think Dakari Johnson actually moved up a class, but I would say 90-95% of the guys are really reclassifying back into their original class.
Talk with Ben Roberts from the Lexington Herald Leader. You can read all of the recruiting coverage at the Next Cats page at KentuckySports.com. Kentucky, for the second year in a row, got a new player on Derby weekend. This time it was closer to home, Zan Payne announcing he's going to walk on. Tell us a little bit about him as a player.
Yeah, I really like Zan. I got to see him earlier in his career and then earlier this season, actually, and we talked to him at the Marshall County Hoop Fest, which was only a few days into the regular season. And I thought at the time that he was going to get some some really nice scholarship offers, you know, mid-majors and maybe even, you know, some Power 5 schools if they were looking for a gritty, a hard-working kid who is going to bring it every time. And he's skilled, too. I mean, he's a really good player, just a little bit undersized for the position he plays. Then he had a devastating injury not too long after that. Completely, you know, cut short his senior season and his high school career, so he wasn't able to go out and prove himself further and get those offers. So, yeah, he's coming here. I think once he gets healthy and gets back on the court, he's going to be a great asset to that program on the practice floor, at least initially. He's a guy who, like I said, is just he works hard. He's undersized. He's probably 6'4", 6'5", and almost plays like a power forward sometimes. But he is skilled, and he's a guy who's not going to back down from any of these five-star recruits they're bringing in. So I think he's a good addition to the program.
What about the young man from Hopkinsville, Kiki Tandy? Do you expect Kentucky or Louisville to ultimately offer him?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Louisville, you know, he and Chris Mack got to be pretty close when Mack was at Xavier. And I think they're just kind of keeping tabs on him, and they've obviously offered a ton of guys right out of the gate. But yeah, I know they're watching him very, very closely. I think they're just going to kind of see how his situation progresses through the summer and through his senior season. You know, Kentucky obviously had him up here for that visit. Calipari and Justice went down there for his region title game and watched him play. He had a great game that night. They're also looking at Dante Allen from Pendleton County. I wouldn't be shocked if either of those guys got offers, but right now it's kind of hard to predict with Tandy. It seems like from talking to him and his family that they might not be waiting as long as maybe a Dante Allen or maybe as we saw Dominique Hawkins wait a few years ago to get that scholarship offer, because he does have some big programs coming after him. I know he was really, really high on Cincinnati. They've offered Tennessee, Oklahoma, Iowa State. We're all in for visits this spring, and they have all offered. So, you know, I think if Kentucky doesn't offer in the next few months, I would think he'd end up at one of those schools or maybe somewhere else if anybody new comes in with an offer.
Talk with Ben Roberts from the Herald Leader, about a 9 away from the top of the hour. We'll take a break and come back with our final segment. It's the Leach Report Radio Network. Back with Ben Roberts from the Lexington Herald Leader, and you see his work, among other places, on the Next Cats recruiting page for football and basketball. We were talking a lot of basketball subjects before the break. A couple of football. I don't think we've had you on, Ben, since Ahmad Wagner, the transfer from Iowa, made his pledge to Kentucky. What would you expect in terms of a contribution in 2018 for a guy like him?
Yeah, I don't know. And I remember back when he was a recruit. He was obviously a very, very interesting recruit because he excelled at both sports. To be that far removed from football, I mean, he is a physical specimen and a guy who did well in high school in the sport, but to just be thrown into SEC competition, you know, years removed from the sport, I think is going to be a really, really tough adjustment. You know, anytime you come into a new program, even if you've been playing, that's a tough adjustment just to get used to your teammates, get used to your coaches, get used to new schemes or whatever. And the fact that he hasn't even been playing the sport, I think is going to be tough. So I think if he, assuming he is eligible this coming season, I think anything he gets this year is going to be icing, and you're really just trying to get him prepared for 2019 and hope he can make a major impact then.
A couple of stories at the top of the Next Cats page right now is about a prospect camp in Ohio over the weekend. Some Kentucky guys showed up well, I see.
Yeah, it sounds like it. There was a big contingent from across the state and locally. Bo Allen and Cam Jones, two quarterbacks from inside the city, were there. They got positive write-ups, and then Wandell Robinson continues to, you know, blow up whenever he goes to one of these camps. The kid out of Western Hills in Frankfort, kind of a really an offensive do-it-all guy at Western Hills, and he's kind of projected as a slot guy, and really could probably do some stuff out of the backfield too in college. He got top wide receiver honors at the camp, which brought in, you know, some of the best kids from across the Midwest, a lot of Rivals 250 guys, a lot of guys that are going to be going to big-time programs. And Kentucky continues to go all out for him, but they're going to have a lot of competition for his commitment.
How do you think Kentucky goes about filling the void left by the departure of Denzel Ware?
I don't know. I mean, Watson is a guy that they've apparently been high on. I always thought he was one of my favorite players to watch on that defense. He was just all over the place. He was so active, so energetic, and, you know, such a big part of that defense. And it was a big deal that he was coming back for this season. And then the fact that he's now leaving, they can talk up a bunch of other guys, but until they perform the way Denzel did, it's really going to be a tough hole to fill.
Some guys have a knack for just making plays, being around the ball. Travard Lindley was like that.
Yeah.
Denzel, remember the fumble recovery on a two-point conversion play that he ran back down at South Carolina. He had a big play down at Southern Miss in the season opener last year. He seemed to be one of those guys.
Yeah, he was a ball hawk, and he was a guy who had that blend of speed and power and energy, and he just kind of had the total package, and he was just so much fun to watch. And yeah, like I said, just somebody that I don't know how you replace him. I mean, they got some talented guys behind him, and they're going to get their chance, but I don't know how you replace a guy like that.
One Derby question. Whatever your level of optimism / confidence was that American Pharoah would win the Triple Crown after, when you were looking at him after the Derby, how does that compare to now looking at Justify at the same point?
I think it would be below American Pharoah. Assuming he's healthy and comes out of this thing sound, it sounds like he's not going to get much competition at all in the Preakness. So I would expect him to make pretty easy work of those guys that meet him there. But the Belmont stack, I mean, this, we talked about it the entire lead up. This is a great class of 3-year-olds. Some of them are off the Triple Crown trail, it looks like, for good right now, but some are going to be coming back. Hoffberg's one that I really like in the Belmont. If you go back and watch the Derby, he had to check up really hard and was really, really still coming late. My boy Jack's another one who got a lot of support, and he also had to check really hard coming around the stretch and was coming late. So I think those two, looks like they're both being pointed toward the Belmont. I think they're going to be tough to beat, especially coming off 5 weeks rest, whereas Justify obviously is going to have a race in the middle there.
Ben, appreciate the time as always. Good chatting. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tom.
KentuckySports.com, Ben Roberts from the Lexington Herald Leader. And we are out tomorrow. Mitch Barnhart slated to be with us, and Larry Vaught on the Leach Report Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow the Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport